can defeat the devil every time. This is my Bible. And my Bible is God's Word. And God's Word represents and is a revelation of God's will for my life. I know no other will that contradicts the Bible. If my circumstances contradicts the Bible, I reject those for the Bible. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to speak to your people and to bring forth a word for them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. I want you to know that for the past couple of years, I've had opportunities to speak at a couple of different pastoral anniversaries, but I have never been more honored than when I was asked to speak at my home church, New Covenant Church International. I'm always honored whenever given an invitation to speak anywhere, but when I was asked to speak at the church in which I had some part in, which had some part in bringing me up in the leadership position that I'm in today, I was really touched. There was no way I could turn this invitation down. So I'm here today, and I want to thank you, Bishop and Dr. Vanessa, for inviting me here today. Amen. I'm so honored. I also want to thank God and honor God for the pastors that are here, Pastor Boris and his wife. I praise God for you. I was there when you first opened your church. I was still here with Bishop at the time, and we came with you. And I'm so glad to see what God is doing in your lives. And Pastor Ben, who I've known for a little while, I thank God for what God is doing in your life. Amen. I thank God for my family and friends here at New Covenant Church International. Give me a shout, New Covenant. I miss y'all. I know we went to breakfast yesterday, and we just had some good times in that van. I was riding in the van with everybody, and we were just talking and reminiscing about all the times we had, and I praise God for them. But I also thank God for the church that God had called me to pastor, which is Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. Victoria's Word, give me a shout out! Hallelujah! Those are my peeps. Hallelujah. I tell you, New Covenant, I had opportunity to pastor you when Bishop and Dr. Vanessa were away, and it was a thrill to me. And God has blessed me with that same thrill in pastoring Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. Glory to God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Keeping with the theme, servant leadership, we're going to talk a little bit today about servanthood, or as I titled this message, servanthood, how to be a servant in the hood. Servanthood. How to be a servant in the hood. Amen. If you're in the hood, you got to learn to serve. Amen. It's the hardest place to serve is in the hood. Glory to God. But do you know what? That's where God is calling some of us to. That's why I thank God for my friend, my associate pastor, Pastor Christic, and the ministry that God used him to start, which was I Care Ministries, and the work that he's doing on Cranston Street and everywhere else. A lot of the majority of the members you see at Victoria's Word that are here are the result of his ministry. Praise God. Amen. And I thank God for how it was a supernatural connection that if I ever have time, I'll explain to y'all one of these days. But time is short. I don't want to keep you here too long. My congregation already accuses me of preaching too long as it is. So and I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible. I'm going to try. I ain't making no promises, though. I'm going to try, though. How much time do I got, Bishop? All right, thank you. Philippians chapter 2, have you found it yet? Amen. Well, just wait for me to get there. Glory to God. Keep flipping past Galatians. All right, there, I'm finally there. All right, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." Say that word with me. Say servant.
Servant.
Say servant.
Servant.
I want you to notice that Jesus, who was God, who was equal to God, who is the second person in what we call the Trinity, made himself a, what's that word? Oh, sometimes that word is bitter on people's lips. But our God became a servant. Intentionally, he became a servant. Say servant. He didn't find it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself a servant. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Say servant. Verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil." Now, how do these two scriptures connect? You see, Satan, if you read Isaiah chapter 14, a lot of theologians disagree with this, but then, you know, I've never had a whole lot of respect for a lot of theologians anyway. But Isaiah chapter 14 talks about a person named Lucifer who made a couple of statements. And one of his statements was, "I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High." See, this angel named Lucifer wanted to become God. He wanted exaltation. You know, there's nothing wrong with exaltation, amen? Really, there's not. See, don't believe what you've been taught in ascetic Christian circles, where you have to deny certain things, that certain God-given things. Exaltation, is nothing wrong with it if you go about it the right way. God has created you and I to be higher. Not higher than God himself, but to be higher than our circumstances, to be higher than our situations, to be higher than the esteem that sometimes we have. There's nothing wrong with good self-esteem. What's wrong is pride. Pride is wrong. And then there's a difference. See, if I think highly of myself, see, the Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It doesn't say don't think of yourself highly. It says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But if I think of myself as less than nothing, then how do you think I'm going to look at you? You see, you're talking to somebody that has some very, very low self-esteem. Very low. God had to show me through his word who I am in him. So our Lord Jesus provided an example by going the exact opposite of the devil, who was nothing but an angel, Lucifer, who later on became Satan. But he went the exact opposite way to show man that through humiliation, you can be exalted. If you humble yourself and become a servant, then you can be exalted. This is all in the Word of God. I'm going to show some of it to you in a minute. Now, those of us who have been in charismatic circles like myself, You know, we've learned a lot of wonderful truths about who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We learned that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We learned that we are sons of God. We've learned that we are priests and kings of the Most High God. We learned that we are royalty. Amen. But the one title, see, these are all wonderful titles of the children of God, and you should be studying these titles out. You know, the Bible says that you are the apple of his eye. That's a title. The Bible says that you are the elect of God, the chosen. That's a title. You should be reading these titles and say, that's who I am. Man, stop listening to the world. You're no good. You're nobody. See, that people think that's being humble. No, being humble is submitting yourself to what the Word of God says about you. Now, these are wonderful titles, and you should study them. You should confess them over yourself. But there's another title we have to always remember. That title is servant. See, God has not only called you to be his child. He's not only called you to be his son and you and him be your daddy. He's not only called you to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am a saint. The Bible says I'm a saint. I'm sanctified, called of God. And I'm not talking about just being a minister. All of you who have come to know Jesus Christ are called of God in some capacity. But you know what? There's another title that we've got to stop looking down on, and it's called servant. Because if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a servant, if he's our master, should we disdain the idea of being a servant as well? You and I have been called to serve the living God. Praise God. We've been called to serve one another. See, the problem with a lot of people when they come into ministry, and the reason, I think one of the reasons why people don't succeed in ministry is because they lose the idea of serving the people. They want title and position. Some people want to become pastors so they can have a following, so they can be able to lord it over people, so they can be able to demand of you your tithes and your offerings, so they can be able to demand that you do this and do that. Some people just have a controlling spirit. And that's why they want a group to themselves so that they can be able to control people. Thank God Bishop's not like that, amen? Thank God. Because I wouldn't have stuck with him 6 years if he was like that. It would have been 1 month and I said, see ya. But we stuck together for 6 years, glory to God. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we always agreed. Now, he and I had a couple of knockdown dragouts, amen, in the past. But we remained friends, and whenever, nobody knew about it but me and him, and maybe a couple of the other elders. But whenever I got up here, I lifted up my pastor, amen? When we disagreed in private. Now, and that's the same thing with you and your pastor. Don't go around to the church talking to everybody about your pastor. If you got a problem with the pastor, go to the pastor, amen? Stop spreading foolishness in your church. And many times I found that I was wrong anyway, so praise God. Glory to God. But glory to God, you work it out between you and him. And don't go walking out the church just because you're mad. See, now you're walking out with offense. I don't like it when people come to Victoria's Word and talk about how their pastor treated them so badly. One of the things I want to do is just send them back. Well, you deal with that, then deal with that situation. Don't come in here with that. Because if you're mad at him, 6 months from now, I'm going to say the wrong thing, and you're going to get mad at me. And then you'll be talking about me like a dog. I remember some years ago when Bishop was gone to Ghana on one of his missionary trips, Dr. Vanessa, and I was here as the senior pastor temporarily. And me and Pastor Clara, we had some evangelistic thing outside in the back over there. And, you know, several people showed up. And there was one young lady who came to me. after the thing was over, and she's just complaining about her pastor. My pastor did this, did that, and blah, blah, blah. I want to come visit your church. And, you know, as I was listening to her, I was saying, what an ogre. What a mean man. How could he treat his people that way? And as I was outside cleaning up, you know, even as I was a senior pastor, I still did some cleanup. Amen? As a senior pastor, even when I was doing temporary as a senior pastor, I was driving the van. Amen? You know what? When I was senior pastor at Victoria's Word, guess what I was doing until what brother took over here? Driving the van. Amen. Well, I was talking to this woman, and she was telling me all these mean things. And as I was cleaning up, the Lord began to speak to me and said, son, don't listen to what everybody says about their pastor. You know yourself that people have come to you saying negative things about your pastor, and you found them not to be true. And I said, oh, my goodness. I had to ask God to forgive me. Because I sat there and I listened to her and I believed her, and I never even met her pastor before in my life. This ain't even part of my message. But you need to walk and talk to your pastor and find out before you listen to foolishness and before you spread foolishness around and before you just storm out the church in offense. Amen? Now, if God tells you to go, you make sure that you pray about it. You make sure that you're really hearing from God, and then go. But don't leave a church in offense. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Work things out.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, where was I in the actual message itself? Jesus' life demonstrates that there is nothing demeaning about being a servant.
Amen.
There's nothing demeaning at all about being a servant. The person who was God became a servant to his Father and to us, and yet continued to acknowledge God as his Father. So even though you and I are sons of God and children of God, friends of God, you know the Bible says we are friends of God? One of my favorite songs is, I am a friend of God. We sing that song in our church quite a bit sometimes. Well, you know what? You're still a servant. At one point, Jesus did say, I don't call you servants, but I do call you friends. But then you read the epistles of Paul, and Paul says, I am a bondservant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bondservant is somebody who willingly makes themselves a slave. Now, we are God's servants, but you know how we serve God? Primarily by serving one another.
Amen.
See, my sister over here said she was hoping I was going to preach a message on warfare. Let me tell you something. If you begin to serve God by serving one another, you can destroy the works of the devil in your life and in the lives of others. Glory to God. See, when I lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover, I'm serving God and the person I'm praying for. Because sickness is not of God. Sickness is of the devil. When I'm casting the devil out of somebody, I'm serving God by serving them. Because demon possession is not of God.
Amen.
It's of the devil.
Right.
So when I am serving my brothers and sisters, when I'm giving somebody some money, because if James chapter 2 says, if I say I have faith, I'm going to give to my brother who's in need.
Right.
When I'm giving some money, I am serving God and destroying the works of the devil, because the devil is the one who wants to keep that person destitute, poor, and in poverty, not God. God says he wants to supply all your need. Oh, let me give you a little bit of revelation. This wasn't in my message, but I was telling my wife about it this morning. She said, you need to talk about that a little bit, honey. The Lord gave me a little bit of revelation about that passage a couple of days ago. You know, maybe some of you college professors, y'all can correct me. But the word the word shall, I was looking that up one day. And the word shall is a little distinct from the word will. The word shall means obligation. It means he must do. It means he is committed to it, and there's no way he could not do it. That is exactly what the word means. And if you have given to the man of God, to the work of God, then God is obligated. He must do it. He would be found a liar if he didn't supply all your need. So when you give, because see, Paul gave that promise to givers. He didn't give that promise to people who just sit around and watch television and don't come to church. He gave that promise to people who gave to his ministry. He supplies all your need. He shall supply it. He must supply it. He is obligated to do it. Because God doesn't go back on his word, amen? So when you go before God, you take the promise to God, and you be bold about it and say, God, do as thou hast said. That's what David did. God didn't strike him with lightning and kill him. God, David said, hey, this is, you said it. God, do as thou hast said. And God did it. Amen? Let's get back to serving. So we serve God primarily by serving others. We're not, those of us who are called to be pastors, ministers, evangelists, teachers, it's not our job to make people do right or control them. It's our job to preach the word. Let me tell you something, baby. I got enough problems making myself do right. That's right. I ain't got time to be trying to make you do right. I got enough trouble controlling Troy, let alone trying to control you. Lord have mercy. Controlling Troy is a 24-hour job. But I'm going to teach the people God has placed under me his word. I'm going to serve them by serving the word. Sometimes it's a hard word. Sometimes they don't like it. As a matter of fact, my wife was saying about a month ago, she said, honey, thanks for all the broccoli and all the delicious vegetables, but can you give us some dessert every once in a while? Today, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of dessert. We're not going to talk about just servanthood. I'm going to give you some of the benefits of being a servant. Did y'all know that God has a benefit package? See, where I work at, hopefully temporarily, as the church grows, as God blesses us, I don't want to be doing that too much longer. But at where I work at, I do have a wonderful benefits package. And you know what? If I can work for the people I work for and get the wonderful benefits package I have, don't you know that God does not like to be outdone? He don't like no man outdoing him. So when you serve God, when you sign up to serve him, he says, here's the benefit package. He says it, read the benefit package. Yes. Glory to God. Let me share with you God's benefit package. In Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to turn there real quickly for sake of time. You don't have to, if you can't find it, just write the scriptures down if you're taking notes. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. See, listen. One of my favorite hobbies, me and Pastor Christic, we sometimes get into this. We like to discuss theological things like Calvinism and Arminianism and stuff like that. And one of my favorite things is debating with Calvinists online when I have the time, which is rare, but I just like to go at it with them. But one of the things this group of Christians say is that God can do anything and still be righteous. It doesn't matter what God does, he will always be righteous and holy. Well, that's not true. If you read this, if God forgets your work and your labor of love, he says that I would be unrighteous. So God says right here that he is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Pastor Vanessa, Bishop, well, you're going to be a doctor soon anyway. He's getting his doctorate degree. But God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and your labor of love. The work that you put in this place, God will not forget it. Amen. Glory to God. So God has a benefits package. Say that with me. Say, God has a benefits package. Hallelujah. One of the things God has is to reward you in the future. You know, when you get to heaven, God is going to bring you before the judgment seat of Christ. See, there's two judgment seats described in the Bible. There's what is called a bema. That's the Greek word for the judgment seat of Christ. And there's another one called the white throne judgment. If you are born again, and we're going to give you an opportunity if you're not today, but if you are born again, you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go before the bema. Not for condemnation, but for reward. Some of y'all may barely make it in. You may not get any reward, but you'll barely make it in. But you know, personally, I like rewards. How about you? I want rewards. See, I don't want to get before the bema. I see you getting all this good stuff. And then when it's my turn, and the Lord says, you know, Troy, I told you to do this, you didn't. I told you to do that, you didn't. All right, you're my child, so I'm going to let you in. But all the stuff I told you to do, you wouldn't do. So let's try your works. And the wood and hay is sitting out there. Put it to the fire. So, Troy, you get nothing. And I see the rest of y'all getting all that good stuff, getting all them crowns, getting all them gowns, getting all them mansions. And I'm in heaven looking for a place to live. I'm going to Sister Takako going, baby, we was married on earth. Can I hang out with you for a while? See, I know God's going to give her some great rewards when she gets to heaven. She put up with me this long. That woman put up with me for 24 years. God has some rewards for her. Now, so God has some exciting things for you in the future. Amen. But guess what? I like to think about my future blessings, but I'm here on earth right now. I need some earthly stuff. I'm living in this temporal world, and I don't want to just wait till I get to heaven. You know, I'm just not one of the people that believe just hanging on the rock, just waiting for the Lord to come. Just hanging on while the storms hit me. Oh, God, I'm just waiting for the rapture. No, I want to live victoriously while I'm right here on earth, and I want some stuff right here. Well, God has a wonderful benefits package for you right here on earth right now. One of the things that God says that he will honor you. Look at John 12:26 and Matthew 25:21 if you're taking notes. He will honor you right here on the earth. See, the Bible says that those who humble themselves will be what? Those who humble themselves will be, God will honor you right there and on the earth in front of your friends, in front of those who accused you, in front of those who said you wasn't going to make it, in front of those who dared to talk about you, whether it's on your job, whether you're in the ministry. Bishop, Dr. Vanessa, all them people that said that this church wasn't going to go nowhere, they're going to look and see how and become jealous because of the work that God is doing in this ministry. Amen. Pastor Boris, Pastor Alicia, Alice, I'm sorry. God's going to bless y'all ministry as long as you stay faithful to him. Pastor Ben, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless the Shepherd's Chapel. Glory to God. Victoria's Word, God's going to bless us. Amen? Yes. Yeah, people have talked about us. Pastor Christic, God's going to bless the Eye Care Ministry. Amen. He's going to do a great work. We're going to get ourselves a dormitory, brother. God's going to do a great thing. We're going to see more men coming into that ministry. Amen. 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 You stand by your man, Sister Elise. Amen. Glory to God. God is about to do some great things. New covenant, right. God is doing some great things here. Right. Oh, I feel at home here.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let me run through this rest of this benefit package real quick.
That's right. Go ahead.
God's going to give you more than enough. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15.
No lack.
Woo, glory to God. I feel like getting Pentecostal up in this house today. I feel like preaching. But I'm going to try to control myself. Yeah. Turn with me. Glory to God. Don't y'all get me started. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Now most of you are familiar with the story of the prodigal son who left his father and spent all his inheritance and messed up, just like a lot of us do, just like I've done at one point in my life. But then he came to himself and he realized something. He said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I want you to see something here. He said, how many servants of my father's house have not only enough bread, but they got more than enough. They've got enough to spare. Oh, if you are a servant in your father's house, not only will you have enough food, but you'll have more than enough. You will have enough to spare. One of the names of God is El Shaddai. The God who is sufficient. The God who is more than enough. Say more than enough. Let me read this to you from a couple of different translations, because I like this. I like this more than enough. The Young's literal translation says, and having come to himself, he said, how many hirelings of my father have a superabundance of bread? A superabundance of bread. Listen to the English majority text. It says, but having come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have an abundance of bread? The Holman Christian Standard says, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? The Good News Bible says, how many of my father's workers have more than they can eat? The Wesley New Testament says, how many of my father's hired men have more bread than they want? Baby, serving God brings benefits. When you read stuff like this, you say, hey, I don't mind being a servant of God. It's no longer a demeaning title to me. I love being God's servant because God has a great benefits package. I get more than enough. More than enough. Now look at this other benefit. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 25, beginning at verse 25, it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. Check this out. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. Say, serve the Lord your God. And listen to this. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Woo! There shall nothing cast their young. In other words, you won't lose your child. Nor be barren. If you want children, you'll get pregnant. Those of you who are married, amen. Now, we know that some of you have made mistakes. Do not feel condemned. Amen.
Amen.
You have repented before God. Do not feel condemned. Take your life and go on. Move on for Jesus. Take care of that baby. Don't abort that baby. Don't go out and get an abortion. Don't murder that baby. But finish school. Go to college. Stay celibate. Meet the right man, get married. Glory to God. But those of you who are married and having trouble getting children, serve the Lord. And God will bless you. The number of thy days I will fulfill. In other words, you won't die an early death. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. How many of y'all got some people that's just keep messing with y'all? You serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. He will make your enemies turn their backs on you. I tell you, I wish I had time to tell some testimonies. I can tell you that this stuff works. I'm not up here just preaching theory. I'm telling you what experience that's in from my life. I've had bosses who treated me terribly. My wife will tell you, I went through some hard times with some of the people I worked for, and them same people turned around and promoted me and blessed me later financially. Oh, I wish I had some time to tell you about it. It's happened more than once. See, when it happens the first time, it hurts. The second time, I say, hey, I know a blessing's coming now. Amen. The other thing you get as part of the benefits package is divine protection. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Listen to this. See, a lot of people misquote this. They only quote this first part, but you got to quote the whole thing. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You see, you can't sit there and claim no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper if you're not serving the Lord. Now, if you're serving the Lord, you quote this left and right, and you stand on it, because God will fulfill his word. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I tell you, God is good. One last thing I'll mention is authority over the devil. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll look at this. I want to share one more thing with you about being a servant, and then I want to pray for you. James chapter 4. Are you getting anything out of this today?
Yes.
Are you blessed today?
Yes.
Are you ready to serve the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. I know I am. Beginning at verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. See, there's no such thing as irresistible grace. See, if you're not humbling yourself, you don't get any grace. But if you humble yourself, then God gives you grace. He resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. But then verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Say submit.
Submit.
Submit. See, we don't like that in our culture, at least us Americans. We just hate that word submit.
That's it.
Because we, you know, especially those of us who are African-American descent. I heard Bishop teaching on this at the Men's Fellowship a couple of weeks ago. That was a good message, Bishop. And Bishop mentioned the fact that because of our past of black people, you know, we were oppressed by some very ungodly white people. Now, all white people aren't ungodly. Matter of fact, there's millions of good white people. Many white people marched with Martin Luther King, and stood up and helped us, and stood up for our rights. So don't always go around talking about the white man this, the white man that. It's not every white man. There are some white people that love you and that try to fight for you. But because of what some evil white men did, we have a hard time with that word submit. I ain't submit to nobody. You know, just like the scripture that talks about wives submit to your husbands. You know, because some men have been abusive, many wives don't like that. I can understand if I was in that kind of relationship where a man treated me like dirt. But you know what? If you obey God, guess what? God will bless you. Now, you submit to God. And then it says, Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know the reason why some of y'all are having trouble with the devil right now? And you've been trying to resist him, and you say, but he keeps coming back. He don't seem to ever go away. You know why? Because you won't submit yourself to God. Well, it must be the Lord's will. I'm just another Job. No. How about trying to submit yourself to God? And then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You serve God. Serve him. And then you will always be an overcomer in every area of life. Glory to God. Let me share one more thing with you, and we're finished with the message. God empowers you for this service. If you take your notes, because I don't want to go through the scriptures again, because of time's sake. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 4. I like the way the Messianic Renewed Version talks about Romans 14, 4. It says, who are you to judge the house servant of another? To his own Lord, he stands firm or fails. And stand he will, for the Lord is powerful to make him stand. Bishop, Pastor Vanessa, the Lord is powerful to make you stand. Anybody who's been speaking against this man of God, this woman of God, this word is for you. Who are you? Who are you? Anyone who's, but see, that's not just for clergy. That's for each other. No Christian should dare speak against another Christian. You should not dare speak against another brother and sister in Christ. Who are you? You lift one another up. If you got a problem with a brother, go to the brother. Go to them. If you still got a problem, then take two more people with you. If you still got a problem, then bring their silly behinds before the church. And then we'll embarrass them. But stop gossiping. Stop spreading foolishness in God's house. Stop spreading foolishness amongst God's people. I don't know why I keep getting on this. That can't be happening at NCCI, not the place I know. Somebody must be doing something in secret. I don't know who it is. I'm not even looking at you, so if it's you, just repent and quiet. You know, but I like something that A.B. Simpson said. He said, there are two great potencies in the universe. Potencies means power. God and the believer. With God, all things are possible. But he also says everything is possible for him that believes. It is very wonderful that God should thus harness his omnipotence to a human life and put the reins in the hands of humble faith. That's from A.B. Simpson's book, Serving the King. Serving the King. You have power with God when you serve the King. God will give you power to do his will. Many of you want to see God work miracles. Serve him. You'll see the miraculous happen in your life. You'll see the sick get healed. I've seen the sick get healed many times. I've seen people getting healed from cancer. I've seen it happen. I've just heard testimonies of that already with Sister Alice and Pastor Boris and my sister over here. I've heard God, I've already heard the testimonies. You know why? Because they serve God. They serve him. We've seen so many healings in our own ministry. I used to get frustrated when I came to Providence because I didn't see the miracles that I used to see when I was in Japan. I figured he was supposed to see more miracles when I'm in the United States. But it looks like God works better amongst the heathen than he do amongst these unbeliever people who already got all plenty of money or whatever. Or can go to a soup kitchen and don't have to depend on God. But I tell you, you serve him. And God will do, he will give you his power to perform. Amen. Stand with me. All heads bowed, all eyes closed.